Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we have Gail Dixon joining us in a few minutes. And we're going to discuss the Mayan calendar and the sixth night of the galactic period. And
catch up a little bit on the Mayan calendar.
Yeah. And
it's been a while since we've done a show.
I'm very curious to. I was talking to George earlier today, and I was asked yesterday. And I was hoping that we could talk some on the seventh night of, the seventh day of the Universal period, which is coming up in November of this year. We're now in the sixth night, and
November of 2010.
November 2010, right? Which will be interesting because that'll also be the beginning of the elections. Cycle for the midterm elections.
I wonder what that'll
be. That'll be really interesting.
Very curious.
Okay. And we're starting to see, I think what's interesting is, according to the Mayan calendar, the sixth night, all of the tyrants, all of the empires, all of the...
crumbling.
Will be crumbling down. And you're seeing it in the political field area now, where you're starting to see all of the...
Phony baloney cronies.
Are all beginning to be exposed, and you're seeing the emergence of populist parties like the Tea Party and other patriot parties and so on. And I think you're going to see much, much more of that, and it's very exciting. I don't think you're hitting it right for some reason.
I guess not. I can't.
Hello, Leo. Hello, Lila.
Oh, there you are, George. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. We were just discussing with the listeners, I don't know whether you heard it or not.
We were discussing what we wanted to talk about tonight, and also how this period of time, this sixth night, is supposed to be the end of many things, the end of empires and the end of these, I was just saying, we're noticing here in Connecticut and all around the country where, you know, these icons of American politics are suddenly...
Crumbling,
both on Republican and Democratic sides, and it seems to be, you know, it seems to be a period of time when there's radical change happening, and people that aren't ready for it are getting out of it, and it's revealing too much about their own personalities, and how they were involved,
the fraud
along with this with the mess up this country's in now. So they're taking their bows and getting out, and
some of them are getting out.
Well, they're getting out, but they're bringing to a close or coming to a close their old ways because their old ways are no good.
That's right.
And you know the now is the time what we have to live with truth and integrity, because if we don't, our own greed and so forth will burn us up.
That's right.
And that's part of the lessons that we will be learning in this sixth night.
Because as we transcend into the fourth dimensional aspects of our existence, we can't have this with us. It's like you said, because it burns us up.
Oh, we could, Leo, but you know we would just burn up eventually. And
yeah.
It's a matter. We are at a time right now where we. We can see ourselves for our ways and the ways that we're going.
Right.
And we have the ability now to turn it around or to see it for what it is and change our ways. And if not, it will burn us up. And it's, let's say, re-entry, if you'd want to call it that.
It'll destroy us, basically, because it will be an obsolete race, you know. One that can't keep up with evolution, and I think that's where we're at now, George. And I see all the avenues opening up to us. I see all the things happening the way they seem to be falling in place, and creating that path and for us to see. And I don't know. I feel like we're walking on that, George, for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the right. We probably have the. You, Lila, and I myself feel. Anyway, I feel that I should be describing that vision or that path that we're supposed to be, that we're trying to walk on. It's a narrow path right now, but maybe with a few more shows on this subject, it'll widen the pathway a little bit.
George, what have you noticed is kind of crumbling at this time?
You know, everything. I think, in a political arena, you could just look around and see how things have changed, or how it's they're trying to hold on to the beaten path and the way we've been doing things for years, but it's just not working that way.
That's true.
I could see the wrongs, let's say, in society, in our way of life, and just like what happened at the airport in Newark last week or so forth. A fellow went around a screening booth and so forth. We had set up a panic there for 5 or 6 hours. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
And froze airports across the nation, really. I mean, it was just in Newark, but the reverberations were felt across the entire country.
And the guy, all the guy did was cross over the line to kiss his girlfriend who was coming into the airport from there as a passenger. And supposedly, I heard today that she just walked. They both just walked out of the airport.
Yeah, he
met her at the plane. Met her, and they kissed and walked out of the airport together. And then all of a sudden, there was a big security thing, and they were already gone.
It's just crazy, just watching it unfold itself and the reverberations, how people are affected by this.
Oh, it just affects everybody, every traveler. It's amazing.
But I think that brings us closer to this unity consciousness that we're entering into, because now what's happening is the effect of one individual is having this reverberating effect all over the world. Like, for instance, some guy just killed his. There was a few people that were just killed again, and some guy killed his family or something here in Connecticut, and we heard about this this morning, and it kind of reverberated. But you're hearing that it's happening all over the country.
Yes.
Hearing
mm-hmm.
these, and they just picked up that guy who killed his aunt and his sister and.
That was in Florida.
Yeah, there was another one. They just got him, but all of these things are happening, all of these strange triggers are going off, whether they're part of a conspiracy or they just seem to be all, people are just losing their minds.
Well, I think people are just losing their minds because you have to understand what's happening.
Right.
There's no restrictions put on thought or consciousness.
Right.
And people are just manifesting, their intimate realities.
That's right.
That's what's being played out at this point.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And, in understanding the period that we're in right now, if we go back to the sixth day, the sixth day and the sixth night, it taught us of the finest examples that we've achieved, if you'd want to call it that, from a polarized point of view, good and bad. And it's understanding that there is differences in ourselves, in the way we feel and the way we react to the world. And it's not that one is better than the other, positive or negative, or female or male, or good or bad. It's just that they are a part of our ways. Now is a time where we acknowledge, let's say, our past and how we are and how we live. Either good or bad, it makes no difference. But instead of reaping the rewards of, let's say, the flavoring that we've given, our life, if we've lived a good life or if we've lived a bad life. We're at a point right now that as long as we acknowledge both of them as being a part of this experience of reality we're experiencing, the sooner we can put it aside and neutralize it and continue on with our path. And, if nothing else, it's part of that salvation that you're looking for, somebody to forgive your wrongs, and then you could step forward and continue on. We are at that point now where we can see our wrongs and accept the wrongs and move beyond them instead of staying with them and trying to redo something that you'll never be able to change.
Now, how does that affect? How does that? mark our progress toward Christhood.
If nothing else, it breaks away the restrictions we have with other thoughts or movements. And
yeah.
Here it's letting people into your heart where you're able to experience them through the heart instead of a mental thought.
I think I have a tendency to agree with you on that for sure, because it seems like everything that is happening now, especially I see it, is happening from an emotional manifestation over an intellectual one. It's like,
well, yes,
it's a completing of the of that bipolar existence, if you will.
Yeah.
That is constantly one thing constantly negates, and one negative negates a positive, But
I think it's
turning that away now to that where they're either going all negative or they're going all positive. Either way, you can direct your energy to work with you as opposed to work against you. And I think that's I happen to see something on Tony Robbins recently. He's got a new CD out, or a set of CDs on how to program your mind for success and program your mind for positive thinking, but also to change your outlook. And I think I haven't listened to the whole tape, but I understand, I think, what his, because I've read and used other stuff by him over the many years, and found that he's on the right track to a large degree, but I find.
And what track is that, Leo?
I think he's on the right track about visualization, and creating what you want and what you need and what you but you are what you think you are, that
mm-hmm.
philosophy. And I agree with that, because it's more or less as a man thinketh, so is he, that book, that great book. And it's manifesting more so now than it ever had, because it's because of our technology, because of the streams and streams of information that we get every day, and because of the our ability to communicate as well.
Well, that's right. To hook on to that thought or the energy that's producing it.
That's right.
It's part of the unity consciousness.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Because I really feel that I'm sensing it more and more and more over the last probably the last 2 years, that sense of unity consciousness. And it's gravitating actually even to our programs, which is wonderful, because as we are more and more and more programs out there consistently talking about these issues and expanding upon them, we're finding that we're getting a rather serious audience following us on these Friday night programs, and it's very good. As well as our other three nights, we have our own following on the Wednesday and Thursday nights as well.
Leo,
so,
I want to kick back here.
Coming
and
together, I think people are starting to focus on what we're doing, and that's a very good thing.
Well, right now in the Mayan calendar, in the role of time and how we're experiencing time, we're going through in the sixth night. We're going through a period that was experienced from 1972 to 1992. So, in a matter of speaking, since November 8th of last year, we have moved into a time where now we're experiencing 1975 all over.
Yeah.
Now, in going back to the sixth night, the experiences that we were experiencing in 72, which was, first of all, it was after the Flower Generation or the Freedom Movement reared its head and questioned the Vietnam War. Now, in 1975 was in the time where Nixon brought our troops home, 1974-75. So what we're doing is we're experiencing that reality all over again. And when I say experience it all over again, we take a look at the Vietnam War. It was a big hoax afterwards by the power struggles that be, that you know, it was really a game that was played by the military and the people in charge in politics and so forth, and it was the people who stood up to it with their hearts, not with their head. Well, they're with their head also, but with their hearts and united that emotional impulse of brotherly love. And that's where it not only made its mark, but we're at a point right now where, you know, with all the calamities around us, and we talked about the economy collapsing, the medical insurance and so forth in chaos, there's got to be some kind of a saving grace here, if you'd want to call it that.
There's a caller that just came on. I don't know, 111. Would you like to join us, or? Hello? Caller 111. 111111.
Well,
yeah,
I think maybe they're just listening, so that's fine.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm going to shut off your mute your mic here. Okay. So, yeah, so go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
It's going to be an interesting year and seeing how things work out, because right now we acknowledge or we accept the facts that we've done wrong, and now it's a matter of changing our ways, accepting it, and not having to feel the reverberations of the penalties for that. I think for some reason there's some kind of outside influence that's really saving us from from the cruelties that life can offer. There's something buffering, let's say, the effects on us. You know, in a simple phase of let's say, weather and so forth, you know, for years they were predicting earthquakes and so forth, that most parts of the coastlines were going to go under. But that hasn't happened. And what I'm saying is that maybe there's somebody holding it up from behind the scenes that we don't know about, but maybe it's just part of this changeover that the Mayans are talking about, bringing to an end this way of life or this reality. And, you know, the Mayans told us that time where nothing is real and everything is real. So
I think the irony, the real irony of this whole banking collapse thing is that the people that are benefiting the most from it are the people that will eventually be hurt the most, because everything that they hoarded, everything that they're hoarding, okay, will become worthless, all right? And I just think that the irony is that, the people that have the kajillions of bajillions of dollars today, once the dollar becomes devalued, they'll have lost everything.
Mm-hmm. But they'll have more devalued dollars than you do, so they'll still have more.
Not necessarily, because it depends on where they have their investments put in. And, you know, like, you know, this is what I'm saying, is like, depending on where you invest now in your future, is where you'll be, you know, whatever you, in other words, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of value left to the dollar, possibly after this year, or at least into the 2011.
The people on the top who know about the dollar devaluation, they've already protected themselves. It's just the ordinary.
Well, they're not going to be able to. And I swear,
I think they will be.
I don't think so.
Oh, because they created it.
But what they've created is false. And I think what's happening is it's going to be going to be revealed at this
time.
Well,
we'll see, Leo.
You know, because if the banking system goes under, then everybody who's got their life, limb, and lungs wrapped up in the banking industry will have nothing.
The people at the very top who've created this false kind of financial system. They're the ones that created it. They're the ones that made the problem. They've protected themselves. The minions that they've used, including the bankers, they'll go under just like all the rest of us because they're not the ones that are on the top.
Right.
They're just the ones that are being used.
Oh, I understand that.
And
they think they're on the top, but they aren't.
I
think it's going to get out of hand. And I think those people on the top will become on the bottom. And I think that's where it's going to be.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, you're going to see these governments are going to topple. These leaders are going to fall. And these economies, unfortunately, are going to collapse. And I think that's what we're looking at in the next year.
What do you think, George? I don't think that it's going to be quite like that, but what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I keep focusing on this war situation over in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going back to since the 1990s, you know, with the original George Bush with invading Iraq.
That's right.
Yeah.
And nothing has changed. Right now, the only thing that's changed is the focus, and now it's Afghanistan.
Well, Yemen, and, really.
Yeah, well.
Our focus.
Yeah.
We were in Iraq. Then we're in Afghanistan. Now we're putting
We were in Afghanistan, Iraq, and then Afghanistan again.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, now we're
now
we're focusing on Yemen more.
There's oil there.
Yeah.
Lots of oil.
And if you look at the map, it's a ring sort of.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna squeeze.
That's all. We're just gonna squeeze.
Well, I think the squeezers are going to change. Or I think the power points in the world are going to change, and one of the changes is going to be China, and another one is India.
I was just going to mention to you that some of the other players in that area, China is one of them.
Well, I think Iran is going to be playing
a huge role. Yes, that's a huge country. I don't think Americans realize how big that is.
There are 68 million people in that country.
Right.
But not just that. They just announced plans to for a nuclear test. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to they're going to launch an underground or whatever they're going to do. But they've already announced it today that they were going to
have a
nuclear test.
You know, Leo, I think this nuclear test garbage is a bunch of garbage because they're really 20 years ahead of this nuclear bombs and so forth. And, you know, that's like child's play now compared to what some of the stuff that they have.
What is it all about, George? That's just for the public?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's just like the Cold War. The Cold War was manufactured behind the scenes. I mean, the Russians and the Americans have always been the best of buddies, along with the crown, the British crown. It's all a game that's being played out. And, you know, it's part of the bloodline game that's being played out. And we've talked about that over our series,
mm-hmm.
that what is happening now is that even though we're winding down to the end of this time, but it's also the bloodlines and the control lines and the power struggles that we know about and that have been exposed, let's say, for the last 20 years for what they are, you know, that is what's being played out, and that's a struggle for survival. And we'll see what happens with it because that is just one of many, many things that is being played out that, you know, we're now seeing for the first time because we didn't have the options that we had, let's say, 10 years ago or with not only technology, but also with the research and the findings that we've had, you know, from looking at our past.
Yep, that's true. I mean, there's so much information through technology that's available to people today. They can tap into anything. And they can see the patents. They can see the things evolving. They can get so much information. We all can. And, you know, you can see for yourself all these things that are happening. So anything else that kind of comes to your mind, George, that...
In continuing on that theme of things happening and seeing them for what they are, this is all leading now to the seventh day,
right.
where we're at a point now where we are actually creating our reality or the illusions that we call life and are experiencing. So, you know, it's only our imagination that's going to fill the gaps on what tomorrow is going to look like and be like. And, you know, the understanding of mechanical things, of mechanical devices, part of the seventh-day understanding is that we would be able to produce and have whatever we can imagine, including mechanical devices, flying through the air, or even of transporting through time.
I did. Now, I can't, don't know whether I read this recently or I saw it on the internet somewhere about time machines. Have you read anything recently about that?
Well, I heard an interview with David Anderson that happened on the 23rd of December.
Mm-hmm.
And David Anderson has a time institute where he's been studying time.
That's who I've heard about. Go ahead. That's
yes. He was on the Outer World radio show, I believe, with Rick Smith. It was the first time David Anderson has been interviewed in several years. And along with the interview over the telephone line was Peter Moon of
Sky
Books. Yes. And he talked about some of the findings in Romania. Peter has also co-wrote a book by a Russian intelligence person talking about the Transylvanian Peskitsky mountain area,
right,
where there is a hall of records, supposedly, you know, in the mountain itself.
Right.
The hall of records, which was equal to what Edgar Cayce talked about under the Great Pyramid, or under the Sphinx in the Giza Plateau.
Right. Yeah. There's been advances in time machines.
Yes.
Someone is getting something ready already, or has it.
Yes.
Anderson.
I guess, is it Anderson?
We read another article on that yesterday.
Yeah,
And it was in one of the mainstream mediums,
mm-hmm.
I forget which one, but they talked about his thing, his time machine.
Yes.
They also talked about a place in New Jersey where things are being developed.
That's one of his. Mm-hmm.
That's one of his places.
That's right.
Well, I'm not sure on that. As far as I know, David Anderson had a facility in Romania, I believe, then another one in, of course, on Long Island, which was closed down, and he also had one in New Mexico. And my understanding was that he just closed the one down in Long Island, and he still had the one in New Mexico and Romania, I believe. And it's only been recent, I believe, that he's been active, I think, in research. But let me explain to some of the listeners here that I believe, from a private standpoint, he is a physicist, I believe. He had programmed algorithms for manipulating time, and I'm not a science person, that's for sure. But he talked about being able to confine time, let's say, within a small sphere about the size of a basketball, that he would be able to retard or speed up the growth in that sphere of energy, either retard it or speed it up. Now, something like this would be good, let's say, in transplanting organs, where, you know, in transplanting an organ, by slowing down the decay rate, would be very beneficial to, you know, to the recipient.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was something that he has, I believe, done, and I think it's just researching, you know, other areas, you know, with his technology.
Fabulous for food, because you wouldn't have to have all these chemicals in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's true too.
you know, you'd be able to have food that didn't decompose without all those chemicals they put in to keep things from doing that, that aren't very good for us.
Yes, I know, but see, if you did that, you'd be putting a lot of people out of work, wouldn't you? It's our capital system, capitalistic system, isn't it?
Well, I think they probably have other kinds of work with this new system.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you think about it, it's such a wonderful discovery.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it could really transform life as we know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if we could find ways to use it that would make life easier and better, it would be great. I mean, just think about it. You could travel so quickly from one place to the other. You wouldn't have to go through those full body scanners.
Yeah, you're right there. But you know, if you would have asked somebody the same question, let's say in 1950, they would have looked at you and thought you were crazy. It was like too. It would have been too early for its time. But now the thought about it, the thought of even manipulating time, you would give it a second thought, because it is something that is in the reaches of our comprehension, you know, even on a fantasy level, you know. But understand that it's our infatuation with reality that gives us, or it manufactures reality for us. And we we are seeing something that we created to begin with. So,
I mean, to me, it's just amazing that we have those possibilities. I mean, they talk about thinking out of the box. God, that guy must be just so creative and so smart.
Well, that's true, yeah. But I think it's putting it in perspective of a unity consciousness, a unity in a sense where there are basic properties and boundaries that we all are attracted or held to. And it's just by knowing those basics that, you know, you can adapt to anything. And, you know, I'm referring to basic physics, or even dealing with the five platonic solids. You know, once you know the parameters of these paradigms, you can adapt anything and everything to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's we have a unique understanding of reality is really 20 years ahead of what the common person on the street can imagine. So I'm just rambling on here. Leo, you're quiet tonight.
Well,
yeah.
I was also thinking, George, if they put that out in some of the mainstream media outlets, it's getting the public used to thinking this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, the way I look at it, George,
they're thinking for themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we do, everything that I do or you do or we do to promote this consciousness, is affecting people.
We're adding to that universal
thought.
That's
right, we're add to that
mm-hmm.
set of thought. It's Peter Moon mentioned it in his book. It's called a grid.
Mm-hmm.
Adding to the grid, all right. And as we add to the grid widens and the power increases and the grid overwhelms the Earth, you know,
mm-hmm.
Earth's patterns.
Yeah, it just makes it more and more acceptable to people. The more they hear it, the more it becomes a possibility. I mean, we do know that people have to hear things six or seven or more
times to really
hear it.
Yeah.
And then they have to, you know, maybe look more for themselves to understand it.
Yeah, even these programs, I mean, people will go back and listen to them and even though they listened to it once before, and they'll hear something different that they didn't pick up. But this is it.
But Leo, you know, going back to when we first started these shows and how we focused in on the Mayan calendar,
right.
Understand that was long before it really hooked on. Was that three and a half years ago?
Yeah, we were in
that's
the,
right.
Yeah, this was 3 years ago.
And now we're in
the
sixth night. Now we're in the sixth night.
Right.
And in November of this year, we'll be into the seventh day. It's just unbelievable.
And you know, I think when we started mm-hmm. this, I think Lungo was still alive.
Yes, he was. Yes.
He was. Mm-hmm. And then he passed away in 07, I think.
And that was a big loss, I think.
I think so.
Don't you, George?
Oh, without a doubt. I still go to his videos on YouTube. And
oh, yeah.
I suggest anybody out there who hasn't listened to his workshops and so forth, take a few minutes and listen to it. It's excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives you a real basic understanding of the Mayan calendar.
Oh, yeah.
He's very clear. He's very good.
That's Zell Lungold for the Ian Zell Lungold, L-U-N-G-O-L-D. And also you can go into Mayan Magic. I think it's Magic. M-A-J-I-K. C, I believe it's Mayan Magic is his website that's put up by his daughter and people who.
It's just
too
bad he died.
And it's an interesting
set
because he has audio. He has a lot of audio interviews on there too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a good site. Mayan Matrix. Is it Mayan Matrix or Mayan Magic? Mayan Magic.
Mayan Magic, I think.
And that's what is that with a C or with an X? I think it's Magix or something like that, M-A-J or M-A-G-I-X or something like that. Do you remember, George?
No, I don't know.
Mayan Magic, okay, or Mayan Matrix, I don't know, Mayan Magic, I guess. But anyway, moving along, how is it going to be? As we, how will we know, it's not a good, we'll know, but how can we explain to the audience what the seventh day will be like of the universal period?
Hmm.
Okay, that's November, October 28th, actually, is when it starts, 2012, or 2011, rather.
The only way I can explain this, I think, is the way I understand it and how I look at as manifesting. Now, you know, I'm really caught off guard because if I go back for the last 2 years or so,
mm-hmm.
the changes that I've experienced, that I've seen, is astronomical. And, I mean, yes, it was the changes that I put in motion. You know, it's just like a focusing on this or wanting to do this, and I was able to do that.
Changes in your personal life.
In my personal life, yeah. And, you know, I have been able to do or receive anything I put out there, and I received it tenfold abundantly. And it wasn't something that, you know, I focused on. Other than I just did what I had to do and I did it right, and it just fell into place. And you know, I keep looking for things to turn, you know, to turn the other side, the backside of things, but it's not happening. And when it does happen, you know, it's just a simple thing, like a simple thing of my mirror falling off my car. And having to replace the mirror, you know, but I was able to get it wholesale from a used junkie instead of having to buy it from the dealer again. So, you know, and I think it was, it's like if I need something, if I put things out to the universe, it comes back to me, and it comes back in my favor, unless you know I have need for not receiving, you know, of the good aspects of it.
Right, right. Now, I understand what you're talking about, George. I think that's what people should be focusing on now more than ever, is focusing on good things, focusing on, you know, living your life to a maximum integrity, maximum... excesses, but to the maximum direction of bliss, you know, go toward the bliss, you know, that somebody said that, and you know, I think that's where you have to go. I think that was think Buddha said, go to the bliss, you know, and that's really what we have to define, what is bliss to us, you know, and then just visualize what it means to be there or what it means to get there.
Well, I don't think the bliss is the word that I would use, Leo. Hold on a second. I don't think it's living that bliss, you know, or you know, praying or meditating for this and for that. I don't have time, you know.
I don't think it's that, George. I never got any bliss by praying anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about bliss by just being happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Being
right.
happy and taking life in ways that define more so your character than define your next meal,
mm-hmm.
right?
I don't even know what you're talking about. You
What I'm trying to say is your integrity is more important now in everything that we're dealing with than any old method of or any old status quo that we deal with, okay? Status quo politicians, status quo government, status quo everything. We've always accepted.
What does that have to do with bliss?
Well, bliss is finding your own path, finding your own. You know, not necessarily finding that path that is paid for you by.
You know what, folks. I don't put that much thought into it anymore. I really don't. I just live. I just go, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a matter of I could sit here and think this out for to doomsday, but it would do me no good. It's just going through and let it play itself out.
Well, don't
and,
you think you made a plan to move from Long Island to upstate New York? It didn't just happen. You made that plan and decided to do it.
Yes, but I think it's being true to myself and putting things into motion. If I really am going to move, I'm going to move, period. So I focus on that, and I focus on first things first. That's all. But, you know, it's actually setting your plan or setting the path in front of you and, you know, doing what you have to do, doing it right. And it will manifest itself instead of having to.
Vision is what I've been saying. You're visualizing a life. You're visualizing your goals. You're visualizing the next step that you're going to take.
Yeah, but you don't have to visualize as much as just get in there and do it, and it'll manifest. Because you can sit and analyze it and think about it all day.
Yeah, but unless you know what it is, George, you can't keep going with it because you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Oh, yes, you can. You just get in there and go with it, and once you start going with it, it's your integrity that will keep it flowing and keep you going. But I'm just saying that, instead of thinking so much, I'm just going along and doing it, and it's just. Instead of thinking about something, I just go and do it.
Well, I have to think about it first. Like for instance, if I want a glass of water, I have to think about going downstairs and getting a glass of water and drinking it, and then putting the glass away and going about my business. But the first thought I have is, okay, I would like a glass of water. Second thought I have is I have to go get the glass of water because I can't manifest it in my hand or quench my thirst without water. So these are the things, the problems that I have where I have to see it or at least know how to get it, you know, in order to do that. Like if I want to get in my car and go somewhere, I have to. I have to know where my car is, number one, know where my keys are, and get in the car, drive, and have some destination that I'm planning.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just go by faith or I'll wind up in the Caribbean somewhere. You know what I mean?
But Leo, what I'm saying...
throughout a tree, you know, but either way, it's like
I don't think you guys are talking about the same thing. That's the
probably
feeling
not.
I have.
Yeah,
well,
George,
well, I'm just saying, you know, if you go to the gas station to get gas, and you know you want to pay outside, you got to put your card in, you got to push your button here and there, and you know sooner or later, you know, you're gonna be able to fill your car. But you know, some of these pumps, it's outrageous. You know, before you can get your gas, you got to do this and you got to do that. And I'm not going to sit beforehand and wonder, is it worth it for me to go through this, or do I have to think about, am I going to have trouble with this damn machine or whatever? You know, I just get in there and do what I have to do, and if I have problems or it's not registering, then you take it from there. But it's not sitting and pondering it all day and worried about mentally see the outcome.
Okay, but if you sat in your car and didn't get out to pump your gas, nothing would happen.
No, because I'm inside the car. I mean, the car isn't going to get filled with gas unless somebody pumps it. And
right.
It's my responsibility to do it.
I understand. But, but number one, you have to know that you need gas. Number two, you have to know where to get the gas. And number three, you have to know how to pump the gas when you get the gas, and you have to know how to pay for it. These are things that take planning, and they don't just come like, you know...
Unless you just go to the same place all the time, and that's
where you go.
Well,
even if you do, you still have to make the note and take the time out of your day and do that, you know.
Well,
so,
or you can wait to the seventh day, where automatically that will happen. You won't have to get gas because you won't need gas.
I really am.
The only problem is that I need to eat
I need to start the car. But it's like these are all things that we're looking forward to in the seventh day. But right now we have to live toward. But
Maybe it'll be manifest in a way that you don't expect. Let me just finish my thought. Like communication, I never envisioned a computer in doing what we're doing right now, George.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't think that far out of the box that we would have such instant ability to talk to someone.
Yeah.
We could even see each other, too.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had a camera and all that. But, you know, when you mention that what you want gets manifested, I think it's going to be in a way that we don't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think it's quite the way we're thinking it's going to be. Because you know what I mean?
I'm sure it's not. In fact, I'm going to expect it not to be like I'd want it to be, because I'm only going to screw it up with my thoughts anyway. So I have to leave it free to manifest on its level, on what it wants to express to me, not what I want to experience from it.
Right. I think it's going to be a bit different than we think.
It's going to be different, but I think you have to expect, like you said, expect the unexpected to a large degree. But,
and that's
going to
be quite exciting,
same time,
I think.
Sure, it gives it character, right?
Yeah.
No different, though, in a guy who is, let's say, a guy who has an invention, all right, and he makes this invention, and he was inspired or whatever, and he invented this thing. Now he's got to think of a way to market the thing or patent it or something. First, he's got to patent it, all right? You've got to go through that process, and then he's got to go through the marketing process and find somebody to license it so that he can make some money off of it. And these are all things that take time and thought and consideration, you know, to do. They don't just, like, manifest themselves as the invention and then manifest themselves into the marketplace. It takes a lot of determination
what's
and a lot
gonna
of
happen
community,
in
the... not community, but a lot of a group think.
Probably what's going to happen in the seventh day is already being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not aware of it.
Yeah.
To make that possible,
it's
already probably in the works and will be.
Well, it is. It is. Like, for instance, this computer proves part of it, and Blog Talk Radio proves another part of
mm-hmm.
it. And the same with if we have, which we're working on there, George, if we have a camera ability to see each other, that's another thing. And then if we go beyond that, whatever beyond that is instantaneous
mm-hmm.
communication, psychic communication.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I pulled something out here. This is from Ian Lumgold.
Oh, okay.
And this was, he's talking about the sixth night. The sixth night, November 9th, November 2009 to 2010. Here is usually a troubled time in each of the past seven consciousness cycles of the Mayan calendar. It's when some of the methods developed during the previous days have been jettisoned because they were seen as not being workable toward a greater survival potential. Now, the last sixth night was 1972 to 1992, and it was of the Vietnam War, a war that ended the acceptability of war, if not the practice of war, though brought by a consciousness shift.
But if you look at those 30 years, what was it?
72 to 92.
Yeah, 20 years.
92. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were years of war. Those were all years of war. You had and war, inflation, all kinds of things, and the recessions and depressions. I mean, it was a rough 20
mm-hmm.
years, because in 72 we were still in the middle of the Vietnam War. In 73, Nixon's problem started, and in 74 he resigned, and then in 74 he resigned, and then in 75 Ford, okay, and horrible inflation.
Yes.
And then in 76 you had Carter, and the inflation went through the roof. And we had 20% inflation, and that was 21% inflation.
Right.
It was insane. And then we had, and then after that, you had Reagan. And then you had 20 years of, or 15 years of conservative economics, which was insane.
Trickle-down economics.
Trickle-down
economics. There you go.
It never trickled anywhere. It stayed at the top.
Yeah, it did. And
trickled around,
and it destroyed our country. That hyperinflation
that was the beginning,
controlled by massive speculation during the 80s on credit, and then after that, you went through a serious depression. You went through the Gulf War,
mm-hmm.
Then you went through 9/11. You went through
the 92. Mm-hmm. No.
Let me continue with Lumgold in his explanations of the sixth night. Currently, the third day consciousness displayed recently in a worldwide protest against the Iraq War before it even began are held up here as being the results of the consciousness shift during the 70s and the 80s. It did not stop the practice of war, but it made the statement stronger than ever before, that war is not an acceptable solution to survival and any longer by consciousness. This coming sixth night, we will jettison our dependence of local in the physical time and space. Travel will be done by the shift of considerations rather than by any physical convenience. Time will be a chosen destination, as local is understood as a chosen location today. With other dimensions or parallel universes to explore, this could be a very exciting time, don't you think? Personally, this I got to see. This is what I came here for, and I'll bet you are smiling right now. Right now, this makes it worthwhile holding on to your life with both hands and wringing all of the pleasures that you can out of it all the way.
It didn't work so well for him, unfortunately, but yeah, he didn't quite make it.
Yeah. We're in some interesting times, no doubt about it.
I'm very grateful to you, George, for turning me on to him, but very grateful to him for
all the work he did.
For his mission and his commitment.
Yeah, God bless him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great individual.
He left such a legacy behind, don't you think?
He did. What I liked about him is that he put it in everyday language where people can relate and understand. I mean, he was a common man. He dealt with a common people.
But he had a tremendous faith, and
yes.
And what he was doing. And some of his earlier recordings there, I listened to it, and it talked about his financial problems and things that he was having,
mm-hmm.
because he was fighting the government over taxes or something, or a foreclosure, and he was and he took to the highway in a bus with his and he you know drove that bus.
He was quite a character, very unique individual.
And he talks about when the bus broke down, he had no money, and he had and he was in the middle of Arizona or someplace or somewhere, and he and the bus had broken down, there was a broken axle or something, and he had to get some and he had to find a way to get money.
Mm-hmm.
But he had already and what he did is he put a request on his website and said, "Geez, my bus is broken down. Can you help me out?
That's right,
and
yeah.
he got a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
He got like I don't know $10,000-$20,000 through his website, and it helped him out and he went on to his next lectures, and he kept booking his lectures everywhere, and then he wound up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And doing those video lectures. So he was quite a character, and he was tremendously committed. But I remember the one thing he said, he knew he was being put to the test on it. Okay, he was being put to the test on that because he had to have faith, and all he did is he had faith, and he got the inspiration, and you know, and the money came. So he was a firm believer after that he was on the right track, right on the right path. I think we have, Anthony's with us. Hello, Anthony, are you with us?
Hello, L.A. Steele and Lila and George and everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend.
How are
you? I'm great. I've been missing you all, but, you know, my Fridays were, you know, taking care of my body since last June, and I just wanted to thank you all so much for being a part of my life. I think about you and I listen to the podcast and
oh, great.
I haven't forgotten you. Just living the dream.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Life in Florida.
It's colder than a witch's, you know, here. It really is.
Well,
I've heard about some of that cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the orange, how bad is it down there? Is it below 20 or?
Well, yesterday it was in the 60s, and today it's in the 30s, so it's just really wacky weather, you know, here in the Pensacola area. But that's okay. Everything is just perfect as it is, and everything's in harmony and natural order. It's all good.
There you go.
Well, really,
it adds character to the day. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
I know that's right.
I just wanted to mention, we got about a minute remaining to this stream. But if anybody wants to call in and remain on the line for a little while we discuss things with Anthony and George, we'll keep that line open. Right now we've got less than a minute, so if you'd like to call, 646-915-9505. Just give us a call, and we'll put you on. So, Anthony, what have you been researching? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been living the reality that George and you and Lila have all opened my eyes to, and I just got back from Holland, and before that I was in Mexico, and just really learning how to just open my heart and just listen, and that's about all I've been doing. And
what were you doing out in Holland?
I was in dolphin school.
Dolphin school.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Fun. I was getting into the frequency of love, and it was all good. It's just been great. That's all I can say about that, and I won't say any more. But I really didn't call to talk about me. I really just called to thank you all so much, and for being a part of my life, and we are connected.
Well, that's good.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, we miss you during on our shows here. So, anything coming up on your show in the near future?
Ooh, yeah. Well, the very first show of the year, I just decided this year, Leo, to really just utilize, you know, my heart and I guess you can say the law of attraction to really bring guests that will create value for the listeners on and help people to truly connect with their hearts this year. Just, you know, even if it's just one person, just like, you know, just getting back to the basics. So the first show of the year was tremendous, tremendous, and it was, it's at the State Department level, and everything's unfolding exactly the way it should. So just stay tuned. Things are wonderful.
We will. Well, that's good news for you, Anthony. Congratulations. Good.
Sounds really good, Anthony. Really good.
We look forward to hearing them. And Susie, we're at the end of the show. George, unless you got any, or Anthony, if you got anything else to add, we'd love to hear it.
Well,
I love you.
I'm really optimistic about this year, and you know, it's funny just looking back. I wasn't expecting to experience radio like this, and this is like old time radio. But this has been going on for over 3 years now.
That's right.
And I think it's great that we've been able to talk to quite a bit of people, and people have been able to listen and feedback to us. And this is great. I'm really happy, and I'm looking forward to another year. And Anthony, I always look forward to you, my brother, and I think of you often.
Well, you know, March we'll be doing our 7th year on radio. Actually,
wow.
3 years on Blog Talk, but 7 years on FM radio. So what do they call it? Sevens are the ends of things and the beginnings of things.
I think
something like 777. It's like all luck. It's a lucky number. So
I don't ever think of it as an end. I think of it as there'll be a turning there.
Probably, I don't know, something.
I don't know what, but we're going to go with it anyway, whatever
and,
it is.
And 10 years on television, 10 years on TV, and 8 years on radio.
I appreciate our listeners.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased that people have tuned in to
listen
to
us
and follow us.
It's great.
And we say certainly thank you to them, and I hope everyone has a great new year.
Yeah, you guys have been a big help. You know, George, you've been a lot of people like to listen to you, and Anthony, a lot of people like listening to you. And these shows are very popular. So thank you guys for contributing, and we wish you the best. And
you know what I love about your show, George and Leo and Lila? It's the truth. It's not just the truth. It's your show truly, truly is helping to transform and to shift the world to the next level. And it really is. And it was like it's like reality TV at the highest level, because there's no greater calling than to open the hearts of people to the truth. So
you're right, Anthony. God bless you. You're right.
Right on.
And thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for that. Yeah, thanks.
That's a great compliment.
High compliment. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
With that, I'm going to say adieu, my friends. God be with you all.
Good night, George, and good night, Anthony.
Good night, Anthony.
And good night, listeners.
Yep.
Good night.
Good
night.